Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of MR2 Metaphysical Romp. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. Yes, I'm having another beautiful day in my consciousness right here at the virtual kitchen table. And I'm here with my friends. Hi, guys.
Hello, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton here at the kitchen table, and it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and it's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And for those who may be listening for the first time, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, youuniversalprosperity.com.
And the shortcut to get there is ucfyp.com. Tons of resources. We invite you to come.
Yes, indeed. And of course, I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar. And you can also find where I publish my weekly blog, The Absolute Word. And so we're always delighted to be with you. And of course, Metaphysical Romp is about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience. Put them together in a bag. Shake vigorously, and that's what you get. So we're in part two, talking about something I found on the Uberman podcast called Ultradium Rhythms. And we don't know exactly how many parts this is going to be, but one thing I know, I have already put into practice some of the things I have learned, and it has helped me immensely. Cher, take it away.
Yes, just as a reminder, what Ultradian rhythms are, so you'll know what we're talking about, they are really measurable, observable, quantifiable, physiological patterns that your body must maintain in order to operate properly. So what that means, shortcut, is they're breaks that you take on a regular basis between 90 minutes and 2 hours to take regular breaks during that time. And you can remember, because ultradian means many times a day, and rhythms refers to the regular up and down wave patterns that these cycles follow. So ultradian rhythms just gives you a clue of what we're talking about.
Yeah. And you might be thinking why we're saying from 90 minutes to 2 hours. It's because these rhythms happen in everyone. We could say they're hardwired, but yours could be 95 minutes. Mine might be 120 minutes. Someone else's might be a little short of 90 minutes. And we're going to give you some tips on how to be aware of what your rhythm actually is. And your rhythm happens all night long too, while you're sleeping. And that's that 90 minute cycle maybe you've heard about when you sleep, when you go in and out of REM sleep.
So why should we care about them? We thought we'd just pick up on why this is even important to you and why you
should. What's in it for me?
Everybody always wonders that.
Why should I care?
Really? And think about how you feel some days, and that gives you a clue of why you should care, because you have some control over it, right?
Yes.
We tend to get diminishing returns and escalating risks whenever we skip those ultradian rhythm breaks.
Yep. And we get diminishing returns and escalating risks on every level for every break we skip.
Yeah. So think about that for a minute. When you work and you work straight through lunch, you work and you don't take that time to get up and walk around, and then you wonder why you're starting to feel less productive. Now you have a scientific reason behind it.
And there's a reason for a mid-morning break as well, is that that gives us that time to restore ourselves. And then we can go into another complete 90 to 2 hour cycle. And if we ignore our ultradian rhythms for days, weeks, or months at a time, the accumulated damage and distress becomes more tangible. Mm. Wow. Why don't they teach us this when we're in school?
Yeah. You think there's some financial bottom line reason why companies don't tell you this?
Yeah, and I think there's some truth in that, and it's also short-sighted, because one of the points the author of this article makes is, it may seem like you're wasting time for the break, but what it does is every time you miss a break, your next upcycle is lower and lower and lower.
And, you know, we've used the term damage associated with these, and there is damage because it includes fatigue, brain fog, loss of focus and productivity, yawning, fidgeting, difficulty keeping your eyes open, irritation, hunger, thirst, clumsiness, increasing errors, and any kind of bathroom urge. When you need to go, you got to go.
Yeah, those are signals of when it's time to take a break. And so, Bill, will you read those again just a little more slowly? Because what you said as a preamble is true, but these are all indicators of when it's time to take a break.
Okay, now, guys and gals, listen up. Here's the damage. It includes fatigue, brain fog, we've all had that occasionally, loss of focus and productivity, yawning, fidgeting, difficulty keeping your eyes open, irritation, hunger, thirst, clumsiness, increasing errors, and any kind of bathroom urge. When you need to, you know, go, you got to go.
Yeah, I love how politely the author said that. And when we track those, we can figure out how long our unique ultradian rhythm is. And whenever we repeatedly overdrive and under-maintain any system, it tends to fail. And that's true of lots of systems. Our body and system is really, really important.
Yep. Okay. Really, I actually came up with a little share-ism. It's a share-ism this time instead of a Bill-ism. Because I think about these ultradian rhythm breaks. You could call them herbs, URB, ultradian rhythm break. So sometimes we have the urge for an herb.
And that's not to be confused with things like coleander,
right,
and basil. It's not that kind of herb.
But those herbs do season our food, and these kind of herbs season our body and our productivity and our lifestyle.
Perfect. Perfect. So what happens in this rhythm, when we've gotten to that, whatever it is, 90-minute stage, our body needs a rest for our brain to integrate stuff, to restore our energy reserves. And there's a few more, Cher, and I can't see where I had that here. Those are the ones that came to mind. So I'm sorry to put you on the spot there, but we'll come to it.
Before we even go there, I want to go back to the gentle bathroom urge that Bill mentioned, because it maybe feels weird, but you think about it, that is your body physically telling you it's time to get up and move and do something. So it's not just that it's an urge for an herb, and it's your body telling you that. So I always think back to when I worked back in my Westinghouse days when I worked in corporate, and I thought about our poor receptionist who was not allowed to take a break until somebody actually was there to cover for her. And you lose all ability to manage your own rhythm, I'm realizing now, when you're put on a structured time like that.
Yeah.
That's scary.
That's borderline cruel.
Yeah.
It is.
It really is. Yeah. Okay. And I guess there's a lot of jobs like that where people don't have control over their ability to take a break. And
they don't.
We know how important that is. It's even worse.
So here are some of those things. As you start your day and get yourself into a flow of sustained activity and mental focus, your body and brain start burning through a significant amount of oxygen, glucose, and other energetic fuels. Within about an hour and a half, you reach the apex or the top of your productivity. Meanwhile, the byproducts of all your mental and physical activity, metabolic wastes, snippets of data, cellular debris are building up in your system. After about an hour and a half or 2 hours, you begin experiencing the accumulation of this detritus as stress. You enter something that's called the ultradian trough, or the lowest point of your energy. It's an energetic low point. And here again, you start feeling some of those things: fatigue, spacey, groggy, irritable, distracted, hungry, or fidgetal. Fidgeting.
Fidgetal, I like that
word. I'm fidgetal. Your attention might wander, your body might feel heavy, your face slack, your eyes glazed, unfocused, or droopy. So being aware of these rhythms and not ignoring the signs is going to help you have a really great day. If you ignore them, you're going to be like a wind-up clock running down to the end of the day. And then you wonder why, when you get home, you're fatigued.
Yeah. I want to do a little quick tie-in with spirituality here when we think about meditation experiences and how some people, based on when they plan their meditation, could that be why they're not experiencing an effective result from that? Because they tie it in. Like, you could use meditation as your ultradian break. Yes. But if you do it and are forcing yourself when you're feeling fatigued, you may feel like it's not as effective. So it's kind of like I'm asking the question.
I'm really thinking that if you're feeling fatigued and tired, a meditation break can be the perfect antidote. And so can something like yoga nidra. But here again, we don't want to be so tired that we fall asleep.
Right. And a walking meditation might work better in that case than a sitting meditation.
Perhaps. Yes. If you think you're going to fall asleep, then a walking meditation. In fact, getting outside and walking and looking at a distance, opening up your vision can be very, very helpful.
And it's also good for a walking meditation, just getting up and walking. It's exercise, of course. It's good cardio. Mm-hmm.
It's good cardio. It has all kinds of benefits. And yet we ignore our body's signal to do this.
And didn't you have something, Paul, related to that of a certain amount of sun each day, or starting your day with sunlight?
Well, yes. So probably it's good to review that. If we start our days in the morning before like 9 a.m., get outside and get maybe 10 minutes of sun, it starts to reset our body clock. And then we also want to get the sunlight before sunset, like an hour or half an hour before. Again, about 10 minutes is all you need. And both of those signal our body clock to reset. And what happens is, it's really measuring the amount. Well, let's not even go there. So what happens is, if you do this for 3 or 4 days, we reset our body clock. Now, our body clock is that 24-hour cycle, which impacts the 90-minute cycles that happen within the 24-hour cycle. So it's so, so important to, I have to say, I do that now a few times a week. I try to do it every day, and I sleep better. Mm-hmm. I am ready to go to sleep at a certain hour almost every night because I've gotten into this rhythm. And actually what happens is our bodies, because of resetting this time clock, actually starts to release certain biochemistry, which makes us sleepy. Pretty fascinating. Pretty, pretty fascinating stuff. Now, there's a basic concept we could think of here. Whatever it is you're doing during your 90-minute cycle, you want to do the opposite of it during the rest cycle. And that way we create a kind of balance. So if you're sitting, you want to stand up. If you're working at screens, you want to be looking at a distance. If you're walking around, you need to sit down and rest. It's all about a kind of balance.
Mm-hmm. And what I like is when you feel these signals, don't feel bad about those signals. Recognize that those signals are actually signs your body's doing exactly what it needs to do. It is yelling at you saying, time to take that break.
It's time for the break. Yes. And it would be really helpful if we could get our employers to recognize this, that when we're taking a break, we're really setting ourselves up to be more productive instead of less productive. And I've done this intuitively for years in the afternoons. Now I'm taking a regular break in the morning too, when I start to feel myself trailing off. Now, there's another part of this rhythm thing that's important to know. And I'm not sure, I can't remember if it's mentioned in this article. There's an interesting thing about this 90-minute cycle, is that when we start into it, when we start to come out of that lowest level of energy, we are first jittery. It seems like we can't focus. And that seems like something's going wrong. But that is part of the process of becoming focused. We have to go through a period to settle down. And I liken it to, if any of you have owned dogs, or maybe you've seen videos, often when a dog climbs into its bed, it circles around and gets its all ready, and it fidgets it around this direction to that direction, and then it plops down and sleeps. So when we are consciously entering that, know that lack of focus at the beginning is part of the process of getting focused. And if you just stay with it, you will get into that groove and you're going to go right on up to that peak energy and peak performance. And then you'll start sliding down the other side.
Yeah. And it's important to really honor the Ultranian rhythms, because it's all about oneness and wholeness. When you think about it, our body is carbon-based, and we've got our brain and our synapses and all that. But what a lot of people need to remember is that the interconnections allow our mental and emotional and physical databases, if you will, to merge and be synchronous and exchange information, which allows us then to operate at top peak frequency and conserve energy when it needs conservation, and use the energy when it needs to be used.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And let's go back to tying it into our threefold nature. We are physical, we are mental, which includes our feelings, and of course we are divine. And we want to be consciously operating these together in optimal ways. And I don't know about you, when I'm fatigued, my ugly twin has a tendency.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's really being conscious of that. Okay. So let's go to the absolute word. And of course, the absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And this is based on April 11th, 2021. And the word is imagine. And the affirmation is, I imagine limitless possibilities. I imagine limitless possibilities. In childhood, I might have imagined fascinating shapes and wondrous creatures in cloud formations. Picking up a twig, I might have pretended I held a wand with magical powers. An ordinary packing box could become a vessel to sail on or under the seas, an aircraft to fly higher than mountains, or even a spaceship to explore the stars. My ability to imagine is manifested from my power of imagination. I use it to shape the very substance of my mind, thoughts, ideas, beliefs, and images. And I'll add their associated feelings, emotions, experiences, perceptions, and attitudes. I use imagination to specifically form my desires in mind as a precursor to bringing them into fruition. I am grateful for my power of imagination. It is my ability to give shape to my heart's desire. I envision possibilities beyond the reality I know and the world I see. I imagine limitless possibilities. Yes, indeed. And of course, the three of us love the power of imagination, because it is so important in manifestation. All right. So As always, I'm grateful to you, our listeners. I'm grateful to Bill and Cher. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off for now.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to our next round around the table.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and as my better half said, we look forward to having you join us around the kitchen table again.